reached the final level. The Spicy McNugget side mission. Maximum flavour, crispy crunch, and a spicy dip with a kick.
Are you ready?
Spicy McNuggets, for a limited time only. Until the 9th of September 25. Fees apply to delivery. Participation and price may vary. Subject to availability. Serving times apply.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to this edition of Peak to Pit, Allie Peak, alongside TJ Pittinger. Pretty historic day today, TJ, huh?
Yeah, this day only comes around, well, every 4 to 8 years, somewhere in there. Numbers that you're very familiar with, obviously. But yeah, historic day. I think you and the girls watched the inauguration today. So what was it like watching it with them, hanging out with them, letting them see it? First one they remember, I would assume.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be the first one that they remember. I mean, hopefully they remember it. They're six. Who knows? Maybe they don't even remember this one. But yeah, I had them watch. My kids are doing virtual school. So they are home with me 24/7 and have been for 10 months. Anyway, so we watched it. And I, you know, I'm one of those people that regardless of who gets elected, I am always just in awe of Inauguration Day. I think that it is so cool. I think that the fact that we have had a peaceful transition of power every 4 years since the late 1700s without fail, come hell or high water, doesn't matter if it's we're in the middle of a war, a depression, you know, whatever, it happens, is something that really is uniquely American, especially when you look at the history of basically every other country in the world. Like, it is such, I think it's such a moving day. And I love it, no matter what, no matter who won the election. I just think it's really cool. And it today was no different. It was really neat to watch Kamala Harris get sworn in, watched it with my daughters, talked to them about how cool it was. They were slightly less impressed than I was. My daughter reminded me that, well, mom, she still has to listen to the president. So I don't know that it's as exciting as you think it is. And I was like, well, listen, woman has never had this job before. It is cool. It is a glass ceiling that's shattered. I don't know if you've gotten to this point with Elena or not, but these things that used to not affect me at all, for me personally, carry a different meaning now that I do have daughters. I never really thought about when I was in high school whether or not I could or would be president or hold some type of title that other people didn't. I guess maybe the closest thing to that is that I always wanted to work in sports, and there were not that many women that worked in sports. And there really still aren't, but the number is a lot higher than it was when I was little. And it never really crossed my mind that it was something that I couldn't do just because there weren't a lot of women doing it at the time. But it never, I don't know, it just wasn't something that weighed particularly heavy on me. But now that I have four daughters, it is something that I think about. And it was cool to see. And you know, it's neat to know that there's one less barrier for our kids. I look forward to the day where we don't have anything left to celebrate. It's just, you know, the best, most qualified person, regardless of gender, of race, creed, whatever, gets the job. But it was neat. And you said you didn't really have time to watch today though. Yeah.
Yeah. I was in the office and there were some people kind of crowded around the TV, but you know, I had to do work and get tweets off. So These Barry Sanders memes weren't going to make themselves. So
they are hysterical.
So, I mean, I was in the gym for a little bit today and Biden's speech was on while I was in the gym. And so, I mean, like I caught bits and pieces of it. I did see when Garth Brooks sang. So
it was hilarious when he ran basically to the audience and hugged every former president that was there
with his maskless, off, like, super spreader. Although, we're 10 months into this. Like I'm over that anyway. So like, I don't care that he did that, but I thought it was funny. Like, I wish I could have heard what they were saying when he did that. Cause I'm like, I was wondering if they were thinking like, what are you doing, Garth? But anyway, Garth
Bush
is
loved
like,
it. I don't know if you saw Bush, but Bush loved
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he did. Bush is immune to everything. So, so Garth was really cool. He's my country music goat, like on like
for males. Yes.
So like he's above everyone to me. So I mean,
I think my top concert I've ever been to is Garth in the Swamp on our wedding anniversary.
What is your wedding anniversary?
April 21st. It actually was April 20th. The next day was Easter. So it was the night before our anniversary, but April 20th. It was amazing. Yeah.
I was going to say, I remember it being like a weird day. We were going to go, but I.
The only thing that would have made it.
Kara was pregnant. Yeah. Kara was not pregnant
because I was just barely pregnant with these twins. Wait. Garth in the Swamp was, it was 2018? About 2 years ago.
No, 2019.
2019. Yeah, it was 2019. And
just had a little baby and she didn't want to go. But
that's the only thing that would have made the night better for me is if I was able to drink. But I was like 6 weeks, 8 weeks pregnant with the twins, so could not drink. And we were in Gainesville and I ended up having to tell three different bartenders that I was pregnant because they're the same bartenders from when I was in college and they all try to get me to take shots. So
she's just taking them.
The bartenders in Gainesville knew I was pregnant far before anybody else in our life did.
That's amazing. So Garth was there. That was cool. And then, I love DC. I mean, it's kind of feels like a war zone right now, but I love DC. In fact, I think we're going to go either this year or next year. We had plans to go, last year, 2020, around the 4th of July. I just feel like that'd be a cool time to go to DC.
Yeah.
And obviously with COVID and everything, it didn't work out, but hoping to go again soon. I haven't been since I was in college about 10 years ago. And so I love DC. I love all the history. I love, the museums and the monuments and everything that's there. When I was in eighth grade, I don't even know if you can still do this just like as a private citizen or have to get invited, but like we've been in the White House, like we've taken tours and stuff like that. So that was fun. But, regardless of, who you vote for, who you didn't vote for, who you like and who you don't like, it is such a cool event, experience, date. It's kind of like when the State of the Unions happen, right? Like you can not like anybody, but like for all of Congress to be there together, like the pomp and circumstance that happens with it, like it is cool in our nation's history. Like you said, the peaceful transfer of power is something neat to see. I obviously probably more contested this year than it's ever been, but need to see that in 4 years or 8 years we'll do it again, right? One way or the other. So
we do it every four, even if it's the same person. It just is whether or not it will be the same person or not. Right? Don't we do it? No. We do it and don't we do it if they win re-election? Don't we do it anyway?
I don't think he would get sworn in again.
I guess you wouldn't get sworn in again.
Yeah.
There
may be like a ceremony, but yeah, it's not like an official swearing in or somebody leaving. I'm also, not to get too political, I am somewhat looking forward to this administration. David Hale, who I've gotten a chance to talk with, tweeted this today.
The inauguration of the president of the United States does take place every 4 years. Even if it's a new president. I mean, even if it's not a new president.
Really? See, you learn something new every day. I'm excited for this administration for a very selfish reason, which I guess everybody votes for selfish reasons. But under Democrats, Florida, since 1977, around the time Florida State is 212-41 with three national championships. Under Republicans, still good, 187-93, but no national championships. So, I mean, almost double the amount of, or, you know, half as many losses, a lot more wins, three more titles. So I think that, I think that's what we needed. We needed a Democrat back in office so that Florida State could kind of get back to normal. So I'm excited for that. He didn't tweet anything about UF's numbers, so I don't have any really updates on that. I would think that, well, no, 2000, yeah, it would be probably better.
2006 was under Bush. 2008 was under Obama.
No. 2008 would have been under
2008
Bush
was
still. Because like the year.
Okay, well, he wouldn't it have happened taken in Obama January wouldn't. Of 09, though, is when the game happened.
Well, the inauguration was after the game. Like the game
my,
wouldn't have
been. Well, I'll tell you this. My brother was on the 08 team, and when he went to the White House a couple weeks after winning, he shook Obama's hand.
But Obama wasn't in office the night that they won. Because the inauguration would have happened on the 20th, and the championships weren't
right,
that late.
Right, right, right. Well, okay, so they that it happened like his first week in office or whatever, that they went up and met him, because my brother met Obama and Eric met Bush.
And then 96 would have been under Clinton. So you guys are kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
We've won all three of ours the other way. Speaking of winning national championships, Alabama becomes the second team all time to go undefeated and win a national championship in the BCS college football playoff era. The only two programs have ever done that, Alabama now and Florida State. So Alabama comes out and good game in the first half. I know it's been a week and a half since this happened, and we'll be quick on this, but good game in the first half. And then Ohio State just didn't really have a prayer after halftime.
Oh yeah. I mean, I didn't think they had a prayer the entire game there. It never felt close, right? Or, at least it didn't to me. It never felt close, but Alabama is such a freaking well-oiled machine. That was incredible to watch. It was so fun. I don't know if you watched going into halftime where they interviewed Saban and they asked him, you know, whatever the typical questions, how were you able to figure out X? What are you going to change about Y? Blah, blah, blah. And he made the comment that, you know, this game, Ohio State's a great team. And, you know, we're going to this locker room, like the score is 0-0. And then he couldn't even help it. He smiled, which Saban doesn't really do. Yeah. He cracks this smile that he like literally tries to hide, because sure as heck, he was not actually going in there like it's 0-0, because they were working Ohio State and he had their number. But that was the most amusing part of that entire game to me, was that smile that he literally couldn't contain. But damn, Alabama is good.
Yeah. Well, it felt, I mean, early in the game, in the first and second quarters, like it felt like it was going to be close.
Yeah, it never felt close to me. I don't know.
I mean, it was 7-7 after the first quarter. In the second quarter, Alabama scored, then Ohio State scored to tie it up, and then Alabama scored, and then Ohio State scored again to make it 21-17. And from there is when the wheels absolutely came off. Alabama scores a touchdown. Ohio State goes 3-and-out. Alabama scores another touchdown, and all of a sudden, a 17-21 game with not much time left in the half, right? Like with 5 minutes to go in the half, you're down by four to Alabama. You feel decent down by four with 5 minutes to go until halftime. Two quick Alabama touchdowns basically make it game over, right? You're not going to come back on Alabama from down 18. And so the second half was never competitive. And it really felt like, you know, I thought watching the game that the game was never in jeopardy, even when it was close. But it just felt like Ohio State gave everything they had to be able to be somewhat close.
Yeah.
And that was the end of it, right? Like they tried their very best. In the second half, Alabama started out with a field goal, and then Ohio State scored a touchdown to make it a two-score game again. But then Alabama scored on their next two possessions, and obviously that ended the game. So, you know, luckily for Ohio State, that was only week 8 of their season. So they'll probably be set when they pick back up and play. Or we may have found out that the last game that the 2020 Ohio State team played was truly against Clemson. Maybe they're team to take a page out of your coach's book. Maybe their team was not focused after that one, and
blah blah blah.
This game counts for 2021. That's not the 2020 team. So anyway, not the best result for Ohio State, but I think we all expected. Alabama, sheesh, they were insane. I mean, like, just everything they try to do is ridiculous. So I can't wait to see them reload with the monsters they'll have next year.
At their recruiting class that they currently have in the works, there is potentially going to be the highest rated recruiting class that they have ever signed, which is wild. The rich just get richer. It's what Saban has done at Ohio State is really, really hard to emphasize. Or excuse me, at Alabama is really hard to emphasize enough. Like, I think he's the best coach we've ever seen in college football. I don't know that we'll see anything like this ever again in our lifetime. It is incredible the machine that he has built there.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny too, when you talk about like the top coaches in college football, because and we'll get to him in a minute, but even like when Urban was there and then Jimbo had just won, like you had your top coaches, but there was such a wide gap. Even it's like, who are your top coaches? Well, we all know Saban's number one, but then there's the argument of like, oh, there's Urban and there's Jimbo and there's
when
Chris
Urban
Peterson
first started, Saban wasn't there. So that is part of it as well. When Mike Shula was who was at Alabama, and that's how Tebow was down between Alabama and Florida. And the reason he liked Alabama and Alabama was even like up there with UF is because he had such a good relationship with Shula. So that I want to say Saban came, he either came in 07 or 08, 06. They weren't playing Saban. So Urban got to kind of have his moment in the SEC, and then Saban came in and was like, oh, okay, scoot over. I got this.
Drove him out of town with the heart problems and stuff. So
drove him to the NFL now.
So Saban is undoubtedly the best college football coach that ever existed. I don't think to argue that, like, I don't even know what leg you
I
start
don't know.
To stand
I yeah,
on.
Me neither.
You know, I mean, when you think of like the great runs, I mean, you think about like the great runs that people have had, like Paterno having the most wins and Bowden finishing top five 14 straight years. And that's obviously insane. Meyer winning three titles with two different schools and like your great coaches to win seven titles in 14 years is so much more absurd than anything that I can even wrap my mind around. Like it's crazy to finish top five 14 straight years. Like, just the consistent excellence is awesome. The three titles in a short period of time at two different schools, really, really impressive. The Paterno having the most wins, like, that's insane. Like, just doing it for four decades.
For that,
like,
long,
he did.
Sure.
So, but the fact that I don't want to make it like it's not that hard, but it's not that hard to just continue to just churn out like 9-10 win seasons and then coach for 40 years. Like, if you just coach forever, you can get to the most
coached.
Well, I'm just saying, if you just coach forever and you continue with an above, you know, like, if you're a good coach, like if Urban Meyer coached for 40 years, he would break Paterno's record, right? Like, so say, like, that's kind of the idea that I'm like, a good coach can do that. But Paterno wasn't winning titles like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
Bowden finished top five all those years in a row. He wasn't winning titles like that, you
know.
So,
to be fair to Bowden and Paterno, it was a different time. In that, you know, Paterno tells this story about when they had it one year where they either had an undefeated season or only one loss or whatever, waiting by the phone for Bear Bryant to call to let him know if they got to play Alabama in the national championship game or not, and what was going to be the de facto national championship game, the bowl game. And he talks about telling his assistant, listen, I have to go to the bathroom. If Bear calls, come and get me out of the bathroom, because I need to talk to him. And so I do think, not to take away from anything that Saban did at all, but I do think it's slightly different when you have a playoff system, when you have, you know, the kind of national audience on TV that you have, as opposed to regional. You know, I do think that that is different. And obviously, yeah, recruiting sure. is different. And it's one of those things, like, same like Major League Baseball, like, can you judge players and pre-steroid era like you do now, or, you know, whatever, a different time, different place. But I don't think there's any arguing that Saban is the best to ever do it. I don't know how to argue that.
No, and I agree. I don't think there's any way that you can. Speaking on the playoff system, I mean, you think about all those years that FSU finished in the top five, how many of those years would they have been in the playoff, right? Like, and it's obviously much, you're right. It's easier to win a national championship now because you get the grace.
Easier. It's just
you have more room for
a fair system. Not that I like the playoff system, but it's more fair than Bear Bryant picking who he's playing in a bowl game, and that determines the national championship.
Yeah, I mean, certainly over that. I mean, I don't know that that was – my point was, like, there's more room for error. Like, if you lost a game in the 80s and 90s, you usually weren't
– I think there's more room for error, but I do think that we in general, it's a little bit more fair. If there was some incredible team – that just had, you know, that lost by a point, you have a less of a chance of getting screwed over now than you did then.
Correct. Yeah.
But
so, I mean, I think if Bowden or Paterno or, you know, Meyer coached his whole year, you know, if there was a playoff in the 80s and 90s.
Well, and Spurrier could have benefited from that. Yeah. You know, there were multiple times where
that game was 1-2 going into it. Yeah. So, so we talked a little bit about the playoff. NFL playoffs have not been great lately. None of the game. Are you watching these games?
I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the Bucks Saints game.
Oh yeah. Like, so if you're a fan of a team, like, you like it when your team wins, but all of the games, that game wasn't bad. That game was the best of the games. Rest of the games have been absolute garbage. It just reinstates the fact that college football is so much better of a product, although bowl season and the national championship kind of suck too.
This year.
Last week. Yeah, this year. We'll blame COVID and hope it gets better next year. Yeah. This week, the Packers blew out the Rams. The Bills, one of the ugliest games ever. It was 3-3 at halftime, ended up beating the Ravens 17-3. The Bucks did beat the Saints 30-20, but the game was closer than that. Mm-hmm. And then the Chiefs had a big – this game wasn't terrible. The Chiefs had a big lead on the Browns, and then their quarterback went out, and the Browns came back, didn't end up completing the comeback, but that game finished 22-17. So the Bucks-Saints game was great. The Bucks defense was – on fire, got four turnovers, set up Tampa Bay in really, really good scoring position. Drew Brees, unfortunately for him, but fortunately for the Bucks, since he's killed us over the years, probably played his last game. And it sucks to see people go out like that. Like, you'd much rather see people go out. He
definitely played his last game. Like, watching him on the way out was kind of heartbreaking.
It was painful. They were down by 10 in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes to go, and he was throwing like 3-yard out routes because he literally just could not throw the ball down the field, which sucks, right? Like, it's great as a Bucks fan. It's great to win and move on, but I mean, you'd much rather see guys go out like, you know, like Peyton did with the Super Bowl, or like Kobe did scoring 60 points, or, you know, something like that. Jeter did hitting a walk off, so all kind of stuff. But, man, that, you know, Drew Brees has been, it's kind of like the changing the guard. Phillip Rivers retiring, Drew Brees retiring. Brady will probably play one more year after this. But
I think he's playing one more year just because Gronk has said, did an interview where he basically was like, oh yeah, I'll be back next year for sure. And I feel like he only came out of retirement for Brady. So I feel like he's done whenever Brady's done.
Would you be, so I wouldn't be super shocked if Brady will, like, leaves after, like, if the Bucks win.
I think
win.
He's there for 2 years. Well, he's building a house. I don't know. I think he's kind of here for more than
more than just this season. I'm not expecting it. Like, I agree with you. Like, I think even if the Bucks win the next two games.
Shoot, if they win the Super Bowl, if I'm him, I ride off into the damn sunset. I think he'll be back.
I'm not playing another down.
Hell no.
Like, I am winning because
Mike drop. I just proved it's me, not Belichick. Out.
It is incredibly hard to repeat in the NFL. And the Bucks, you know, we'll talk about the upcoming game in just a sec, but the Bucks have gotten a semi-favorable road in the playoffs. They got to play the under 500 team, and then they got to play Brady, who literally had no arms. And so, like, or Breeze, I'm sorry. And so if they can now upset the Packers, and then it'll probably be a slight dog to Kansas City if they play them, probably a slight favorite if they play the Bills. But if they win those two, like, I'm not taking the chances on that. Like, I'm not taking the chances on not winning. Like, I'm going out a blaze of glory. Like, I'm going out like a champion. Like, there's no way I'll come back.
I will tell you, the hardest thing for, and I'm sure this is the case for every professional sport, it doesn't have to be football, but Peter Pan, knowing when to grow up, is literally the hardest thing about this game for these players. I cannot tell you and how many people I've watched just get sucked back in over and over again. And I you know, when you have the talent that he has, it has to be at such a even more intense level than the average person.
Yeah, very few players know. And I was talking to somebody about this today. I read a book. It was a fiction book on a baseball player that kind of knew when to hang it up, and it was due to other circumstances and stuff like that. But very rarely do guys know when to hang it up. They try to go for that one last ride, and they get paid really well to do it. Like, if you got – I mean, I could go out there and throw six interceptions, and if they pay me millions of dollars to do it, like, I'll just keep going back.
Sure,
like,
heck
I'm going to come back until you stop paying me. Sometimes players do know, right? Like Jeter knew when it was time. Kobe knew when it was time. So there are guys that know.
It's hard to know for sure. And I think it's especially hard to know if you feel like you have something left to prove. And so I think it's maybe easier if you're Jeter or if you're Kobe. It should be easier if you're Tom Brady. Like,
right. You know, if you win it this year,
you have nothing. It should be easier for something like that, because when you've won as much as they have, there is nothing left to prove. You have somebody, that just like take God, now I'm going to draw a freaking blank. Who retired today?
Philip Rivers.
Okay, I'm totally. So take Philip Rivers, who never actually got that Super Bowl ring, right? That's got to be a hard decision for him.
Yeah, I mean, and I think some of these guys also, the other big difference is, Brady's body is still in pretty good shape. Like, he's not Breeze, or I mean, right. Kobe struggled with injuries at the end of his career, and so did Jeter. And so, like, that's kind of some of the other stuff too.
Absolutely. Well, when you Brady physically
could go another year. But yeah, like Philip Rivers, I mean, he got paid $25 million to go play for the Colts this year, and he had a pretty good season. Like, the Colts did fairly well. They made the playoffs. They were competitive in the wild card game, but like $25 million, like maybe like 200, like 25,000, I'd go play. Like, I'm, you know, like, so yeah, like with contracts and stuff that guys get signed to make 1 year runs and stuff like that, like, you know, who knows? But yeah, I do think if the Bucks win, I still think he comes back, but I'm just saying it wouldn't shock me. Like, it wouldn't shock me if he just said, like, hey, Tampa, I came, I did what I said I was going to do, and I'm out, you know?
Yeah, like, now you're on your own. I showed you it's possible.
Figure it out. Yeah. So, Bucks Packers this weekend. The Packers are, man, all four teams are playing really well right now. It truly is, like, I mean, I would have said, you know, 3 weeks ago, I obviously would have thought the Saints were a better team than the Bucks. They had dominated the Bucks both times they played.
It's incredibly difficult to beat the same team three times in one season, though. And yeah, then you can make that other Breeze, quarterback, Brady. Yeah. And
Breeze was also fully healthy both times they played. In week one and week six, I'm sorry, it was like week nine or so. After that, he actually got hurt in the Bucks game. It's come out that he was playing with like 11 broken ribs. Yes.
Oh my God.
A torn rotator cuff. You know, listen, I know that you're going to make a joke with this, but I think the Saints would have had a better chance just playing Jameis the whole game. Like, no, you could say
you're smoking crack, TJ.
Okay. I know this is crazy, and yes, you're going to call me a homer.
You're just a Jameis homer, yes.
Breeze had three interceptions and no touchdowns. Jameis never did that. Like, he never. Jameis threw
a lot of interceptions in Tampa,
but he didn't go games without throwing touchdowns. Is my point. Like, Breeze was absolutely terrible, and Jameis could have come out and thrown three interceptions as well, but he would have at least been able to throw the ball more than 3 or 4 yards. Like, I'm telling you, they would have had a better chance to win. I'm not saying they win, but they would have absolutely had a better chance. Drew Brees was as effective as you or I out there.
All right, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this, because
I mean,
I just don't know. We're going to have to disagree. Did you watch
Drew Brees? Do you think Jameis could have thrown the ball farther down the field? At least the interceptions would have been like 40 yards down the field, not like, you know, throwing. How about the one where he was running to his left and he was about to get hit and he just kind of like tossed it up and Davis picks it off and runs it back down to the two? Like, oh my gosh, he looked pathetic out there. So all that said, to go back to the green, I think the Bucks, the Packers, the Bills, and Chiefs are playing the – oh, speaking of Jameis, Jameis finishes the year with the highest playoff quarterback rating of all time. Pretty incredible for a guy that would not have made any difference in the game, in your opinion. But I think all four of those teams are playing really, really well. I could see any of the four teams that are left winning it. I think the Bills' defense is incredible. The Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, who is the best player in the game today. Aaron Rodgers is playing like the best quarterback right now. You know, he's playing better than Mahomes. I mean, I think he's playing better than Brady. Brady had like 199 yards in the game. He wasn't super, super sharp. Rodgers is on another level right now, and the Bucks are probably playing as the most complete team. Like, the offense is playing well. The defense was incredible on Saturday. So, I mean, I really just think any of these four teams could win. I think that going to Green Bay and winning on the road is going to be tough.
Heck yeah. Like,
that's never easy, but you know, I think it's doable. I you know, there's a reason it's only a 3-point spread. It's not like, you know, they're a 2-touchdown favorite or something like that. So, I don't know. I think that the Bucks excelled on capitalizing on Breeze and the Saints' mistakes. Yeah. I think that the Packers are going to make less of those mistakes. I would be shocked if the Packers turned the ball over 4 times like the Saints did on Sunday. And so the Bucks have to get a little bit better on offense.
Yeah.
To kind of counteract that, right? You're probably not going to have a drive starting at the 2-yard line again. You're probably not going to have a drive starting at the 18-yard line again due to a turnover. And so those are like sure thing touchdowns. When you give Tom Brady the ball on the 2-yard line and then give him the ball on the 18-yard line, and then we had another drive start on our own or on their 40. So 3 drives basically in field goal range already, 2 inside the red zone. Those are automatic, like Brady scoring there, especially like with Mike Evans and Gronk, like you just throw the ball up, right?
Right.
So I would imagine that Green Bay is going to be a little bit better than New Orleans. So I don't think we'll have those easy opportunities like we got this weekend. But I don't think Green Bay's defense is as good as New Orleans. So our offense should be better. So I don't know. I mean, Brady Rodgers in Green Bay, in the snow. I don't know if it's going to snow or not, but it's getting the cold.
I mean, in Green Bay in January, it doesn't matter if there's snow or not, is going to be intense.
It's going to be so much fun.
Oh, my God, it's going to be awesome.
I don't know. I like the late games when I'm at home because it doesn't really matter. But like that, I kind of wish
too,
because
my
game.
Kids don't distract me as much.
This 3 o'clock crap that they're giving us and making the Bills and Chiefs the late game. It's probably due to the cold, like not making an 8 p.m. game for Green Bay. But
yeah,
anyway, should be a lot of fun. And then I really don't know what's going to happen on the other side. I don't know how hurt Mahomes was in concussion protocol. I'm sure he's going to play. But I think the Bills and Chiefs will be a lot of fun too. Obviously, we'll enjoy the Bills and Chiefs more based on the result of the Bucks game. If the Bucks lose, like I think that happened. Yeah, no, we played the Rams. I'm trying to think. Like there have been times where like my team is lost in this situation, and I won't even watch the other game. Like I'm just like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like the whole thing is pointless at this point. Like it was a scam. Stop the count. This is not right. So, speaking of the NFL as well, your coach that we were just talking about, Coach Meyer, took a job with the Jags. What are your thoughts there?
It's going to be interesting to watch. I will say that. I think that Urban Meyer is great at scouting talent. I think that Urban Meyer is great at hiring really, really good assistant coaches. I am just very interested to see how his coaching style – goes over with grown men players. Part of Urban Meyer's effectiveness is the mind games that he plays with his players. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, basically listen to me and I can help you become an NFL player. Listen to me and I can help you put food on your table for your family. Things like that, which I don't think carry the same weight when you're talking to a bunch of guys who are making more money than you are. I think he's going to have to come up with a different way to motivate them. And I think that the, I don't know how to say this in a way that comes, doesn't come across as incredibly negative, because I'm really not trying to, but I don't know that the powerful ego that he wields while coaching college kids will go over well in the NFL. I think he's going to have to adjust that kind of personality. I think it's going to be difficult for him to not have full control over things like his roster, which obviously he will have a say in, but that he is not going to be the final decision maker in that. I think it will be hard for him to have to answer to owners and GMs. So it's will be interesting to see how flexible he is on things like that, because I really think the X's and O's will be great. What he sees in, you know, diamond in the rough talent will be great. The hires that he makes will be great. It's just whether or not his personality will make it in the NFL. I honestly don't know that it's that he won't be successful. I don't think he lasts long though.
How many years? Over under?
Under six for sure. Probably under four. I'd say under four. That doesn't mean he's getting fired, because he's, I think it's much more likely he just steps away than it is that he gets fired. I think that this Jacksonville team will immediately win more games next year. I just don't know that I think he's cut.
Well, they're picking first in the draft, so I hope so.
Right. Well, I think it'll be, I think he has a personality similar to Nick Saban, and I don't think it's a personality that is meant for the NFL, but it'll be interesting to see, because I think, so one of the hires that he has made is Charlie Strong, who he's bringing, who was his D coordinator at Florida and obviously was at Florida even before Urban was there. But Charlie Strong, at least at UF, was kind of the liaison between Urban Meyer and the players. He is very much a player's coach. He relates to them. He was never the type of coach to get on a power trip with his players at all. I think his personality is kind of more similar to that of Pete Carroll's. So I think it will be interesting, because if Urban really does what he says he's going to do, which is that he is kind of going to sit back and manage and let his assistant coaches coach, then maybe this lasts for longer than we think, because if the people he puts in place are really good players, coaches, it might work out. I think Charlie Strong will be successful in the NFL. I think he has the type of personality that NFL players will relate to and appreciate. So I think, you know, that's something that he has going for him. If rumors are true that he's going to bring DJ Durkin in, I think that would be a colossal mistake. I can't think of a coach that gets on more of an ego or power trip that I have ever met in college football. And that's saying something, since I think you have to have a massive ego to coach college football in general.
Yeah. So I guess like the positive optimist spin on some of this might be that Jacksonville was not a very good team. They'll be a relatively young team. Mm-hmm. Obviously probably taking Trevor Lawrence, and
right.
I completely understand.
I think he'll mesh with Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. He'll be like a Tebow Urban relationship there.
My thought there is, I agree with you when you say that he's not going to be able to treat NFL players like college players. But he's basically about to get a college senior.
Yes.
Right?
And as his
leader. Yeah. And then Trevor can maybe kind of be an extension of Urban.
Right.
If that's his leadership personality. Quarterbacks aren't always the most vocal leaders, but they tend to be more often than not in the NFL. And so that can benefit Urban, the fact that he's going to have a young quarterback.
Well, and I do think that the two of them will mesh. I don't know Trevor Lawrence personally, but just from what I've seen, I know what I personally know about Urban and Tim's relationship. Like, I think that that relationship can for sure be cultivated. He won't try and Urban, screw with him Urban, mentally.
Yeah. And even if he does, it's like a college senior, right? Like, it's not him coming in and trying to do that with Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees or Tom Brady, yeah. right? It's much different. So maybe that kind of works out in his favor. Again, Jacksonville is going to be a young team, a lot of draft picks. They're going to be yeah. trying to build up the roster. And so you will have some younger guys. I think, you know, Urban will probably leave Jacksonville in a better place than he found it. Again, not maybe hard to do when you're taking over the worst team in the league. It's a division that's ripe for the taking. Phillip Rivers just retired from Indianapolis. You have to kind of wonder what they do at quarterback. You know, Houston's in a lot of turmoil right now. A lot of reports and rumors that Deshaun Watson wants out of there. Tennessee's a good team, won the division this year, but is really just kind of a defense and run the ball type team. And so even if you were to finish, I think the Jags could easily finish second in the division next year. And so winning kind of fixes everything, right? Like if he comes in there and he's an a-hole, and they're still losing, that's an issue. If they can kind of come in and finish second in the division, get close to 500, go 8-8, then I think, you know, it continues to go well for them there. It's not like Tannehill is going to be around forever in Tennessee and running back shelf life. Talking about Derrick Henry there in Tennessee, that's not like a running backs don't last for 15 years like Emmitt Smith anymore. So, I don't know. I think that it's a great situation for Urban. The fact that he's going to get Lawrence, and the division that they're in is super helpful as well. It's like he's going to the AFC North with like the Steelers and Browns.
Part of the things that the Jags care about is selling tickets. And you know what? Urban's going to do that for him. Supposedly they got 50% of their season ticket money back within like the 24 hours of are turned in within the 24 hours of announcing that Urban was head coach. Like, I think that the location really helps fans buy in because these people are familiar with Urban, and Gator fans can say whatever they want, but the man brought us 2 national championships. You know, that's more than anybody else has brought to the table, and Gator fans have an appreciation for him. Jacksonville is a Gator town. People will sit in the stands to watch him. It's going to be fun. Right. I don't think that it's a long term recipe for success, but I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be different. I'm excited to see what he brings, what wrinkles he brings. He is an incredibly innovative coach.
It almost reminds me, and I don't want you to laugh at this, but it almost reminds me of when Mark Richt went to Miami. And the fact that he just rejuvenated that organization or that program, right? Like,
right.
Again, they're not world beaters. They're not back to being the Miami of old. They're not, you know, anything that strikes fear in the hearts of anyone relevant. But they win a consistent, you know, 8-10. They beat all the teams they're supposed to beat, right?
Right. Like
they lose to the good ones, but they beat all the teams. And so if Urban can do that and just get the Jags to where they're above 500, competing for a playoff spot, win a division here and there, that's all you want in the NFL. You just want to make the dance, right? Like, the Bucs didn't win the division. They finished two games worse than the Saints and got blown out both times they played them.
Yeah.
But they made the dance. Like, that's all that matters. Like, and then you win a couple games in there and you're there, you know? So that's all that matters. And I think that's what he can get them back to. And if he's not there long-term, the average coaching life these days is since like 2003 is like 2.75 years. So, I mean, I think he gets over that. So if he gets to 4 or 5, then great.
Well, listen, he'll leave Jacksonville better than he found it. I think.
Again, we're saying that because they're the worst team. Like, they won't be the worst team in the league in 3 years.
No. So, I don't think they will be, but I just think, I don't know. I picture Saban. I picture Spurrier. I put Urban more in a category with them as opposed to a coach like Pete Carroll.
Yeah, not many coaches have gone from college to pros and been super successful. Obviously, in the old days, Jimmy Johnson did. Pete Carroll's obviously had plenty of success as well. But more often than not, you see coaches flop with that. Yeah,
right.
So
it'll be interesting to watch, though. It'll be a fun ride.
What do you think about him bringing in Jeremy Pruitt as his defensive coordinator?
I mean, I guess stranger things have happened. I don't know. I don't know. Jeremy Pruitt has his own.
He's got some time
problems,
now.
But I guess the NFL would be probably where he'd look because nobody in college is touching him with a 10-foot pole.
Now we should bring him back to FSU.
Oh yeah, that'll go well.
11 points a game when he was at Florida State for the last season. Like, I think that he would be the answer to turn the defense around. What a mess Tennessee is right now.
What a mess. I mean, did you see the report today about the McDonald's bags?
Yes, that was insane.
Insane. For those of you that didn't hear this report, so Tennessee's in big trouble, right? They self-reported a few weeks ago, and we knew that things were potentially starting to unravel, because when you as a university self-report, it's because you're trying to lessen whatever penalty's coming, right? Sure. Which we've actually found in the past that that's not actually in any way effective. You look at Florida State turning themselves in for helping players, whatever, with homework in a music class, and the book being thrown at them. And then we look at USC basically just refusing to participate in any investigation. And it might've actually worked out better for USC. So the NCAA really does not make this maybe necessarily the smart choice, but regardless. So Tennessee starts to kind of self-report, and then it comes out, you know, there's some recruiting violations. And I don't know, the first thing that I think we heard about it was them paying for hotels for recruits coming for unofficial visits instead of official visits, which, you know, not good, but not the end of the world or anything like super shocking. And then today we hear that they were giving recruits bags of cash in McDonald's bags. And apparently not even like in any way hiding it. Which even for college football, where cash handshakes take place, is still wild though.
Yeah, no, that happens, right? That happens at other places, not just Tennessee.
It happens to other people, but it's
not necessarily the McDonald's thing, but you know, good programs probably at least treat them to Chick-fil-A.
Right.
Or if you're in Florida, if you're in Tallahassee, you get Guthrie's. If you're in Florida. Never mind.
Did you see what Mark Stoops said about it?
I didn't.
Okay, so Mark Stoops was asked, he did a radio interview a day or two ago, and on Tuesday, I believe, and they asked him about the internal investigation and the violations, which they're saying are going to be level one and level two violations, which are really serious. And his quote was, "I've got to be careful in my response here. Did I see it coming? Yes. I'm grateful it came. Does it surprise me? No, not one bit." So this is apparently a pretty poorly kept secret among college coaches. But I mean, I don't know. That's a pretty powerful statement right there.
Pruitt took over for Stoops at Florida State, right? He came in 2013.
Yes, which actually makes it kind of even more shocking because they're in the same little brotherhood there.
Well, they never coached together.
No, I know. But
like, you think there might be a little jealousy that he left to take that job and then Pruitt comes in and it wouldn't have mattered if me or you were coaching that defense, you know?
No, because, I mean, he's the one that chose to leave. It's not like he was fired. He left to become a head coach, you know?
Point.
So I can't – I think it would be different if he was fired and then the next year they won it or something. But he left on his – he would have been the DC for the national championship if he had chose to stay. That was
right.
He's the one that made the choice.
I'm just saying, you think he regrets it a little bit? Like, if you knew you could leave anyway, like, would you stay one more year if you knew you were going to get a title? So I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, he's got a pretty good job at Kentucky. He's safe there for however long he wants to coach.
I hear a lot about SEC East. I hear a lot of the SEC East fans giving Kirby a lot of grief for the way he recruits.
So,
but it seems to be Florida and Tennessee that are getting hit with these violations recently, within the last month.
Well, so Florida's are not new. It just hit the press recently.
That's what I'm saying. But, I mean, they're within Mullen's
tenure. But also, yes, within Mullen's tenure. Well, supposedly there's a huge investigation going on with Georgia right now.
I haven't seen any sanctions handed out.
But also, the Tennessee and the Florida ones are not even within the same stratosphere.
I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying there's a lot of talk about Kirby, and it seems to be other coaches that have issues within your division.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know any stories about Kirby personally, so I definitely don't want to sit here and speculate by any means. But recruiting certainly picked up when he got there, although winning hasn't necessarily. He actually has a worse record at this point in his tenure at Georgia than Mark Richt had in his tenure at Georgia. Now, he did make the playoffs. But since he didn't walk away with anything, I don't know that that necessarily, you know, means a whole hell of a lot in the scheme of things. And so it is interesting. And I have heard lots and lots of rumors, but I don't know personally anything about it. It'll be interesting to see if an investigation really is coming. We've heard that for a couple of months now. But and Tennessee's, though, to be fair, we only know because Tennessee chose to tell us. Right. This isn't anything the NCAA has told us yet, has handed anything down about. We know because Tennessee chose to tell us. We don't know because the NCAA did anything yet.
All I know is that my man Kirby over there gets a lot of grief from you guys, and he's not the one getting sanctions, at least yet. So
Tennessee isn't getting sanctions at least yet either.
But it's been made known.
It's been made known for sure.
So
also, though, about the Florida ones, for anyone listening that doesn't know what that is, I do think
Florida cheated. And so we need to talk about it. Florida, so this is confessional.
So the
Mullen cheat, like, that's cheating.
Mullen.
He broke the rules. If it makes you feel better.
Spoke to a recruit for longer than 15 minutes while on an on-campus visit. I actually don't think it was Mullen. I think it was assistant coach. But a Florida coach talked to a recruit for longer than 15 minutes. They know because another college was waiting to speak to this same recruit too. And so timed it. And I don't know how long it went. I don't know if it went 17 minutes or it went 3 hours. I don't know what the timing was in that. But that was one of the violations. And then another one of the violations was that a 7-on-7 program with like 100 kids was on their way to a tournament and stopped at the swamp and were walking in the stadium, and Mullen came out and said hi to them, which was also a violation. I think, I don't know if it was during a dead period or whatever it was, but that was also a violation. So, you know, breaking the rules. So, you know, they had some, they lost some recruiting days on the trail as a punishment. But I would venture to say not anything that doesn't happen pretty much everywhere. And not the end of the world.
It's sad when people just can't follow the rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm glad that you came and confessed you guys' sins. With that kind of character, I just don't know how far you guys will ever go, to be honest. Speaking of how far you'll go, it's been 2 weeks. We didn't pick last week's game because we didn't record last week, but you had a really good week 2 weeks ago on these picks.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that. I don't know if you remember that, but you did. So, in fact, you almost caught up. I had a bad week. So, let's look at it real quick. I'll recap these, and then we're only picking two games this week. But the first one, we both took the Bills to cover against the Colts. We both missed that. You took the Rams. I took the Seahawks. You got that one. The Bucks and the football team pushed, so I just threw that one out. It was -8. You got the Ravens. I took the Titans. We both got the Saints correct. We both got the Browns correct. And then you got Alabama right. So you got 5 out of 6. And I got 2 out of 6. So I am 55 and 54, and you are 53 and 56. So you're only 2 back. So we're picking 2 games this week because there are only 2 games. You just need to pick opposite of me on both of them because you're not going to have enough time to come back. Like, that's your only chance here. So, Kansas City is a 3-point favorite against Buffalo. I like Kansas City to cover this, and I'll tell you, I like Green Bay to cover their 3 points. So, do you just want the other two?
Well, give me the other two.
All right. I kind of made that easy for you because I knew that you wanted to pick the Bucks. So, if I lose this, I'm going to be pissed. But I figure I'll just get one right, and we'll split. I think that's all we have. Do you have anything else that you can think of before we get out of here?
No, I don't think so.
Any other recruiting violations you'd like to tell us about?
No recruiting violations I'd like to tell you about, but I'm going to launch my own investigation into Georgia.
All right, very good. By next week, I expect you to get me up to date on how Kirby's been cheating.
Perfect.
Well, he's been putting you guys' water in Jacksonville or whatever he's been doing.
He's definitely been sliding some Chick-fil-A bags of cash somewhere.
I think I just take the Chick-fil-A. Like, just give me the – I mean, I take the cash too, don't get me wrong. But McDonald's, I mean, it is Knoxville, I guess. So it's kind of a nice restaurant there. So, all right, we'll do it again next week. Maybe we'll take a week off again. Who knows? But we appreciate all the support and love, and we'll see you guys next week.